Over the last number of weeks, we have been considering the general subject of Christ, our Redeemer. We've noted different truths about the Lord Jesus as he engaged in the great work of saving his people from their sins. We considered, first of all, the person of Christ, our Redeemer. He is the one uniquely qualified and able to save sinners. The one who is uniquely qualified. The one who is uniquely able to save men and women. Christ is the God-man. He is the seed of the woman that was promised from the fall of mankind. Therefore, as we consider his person, who the Lord Jesus actually is, the only honest conclusion we can come to is, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is what the person of Jesus Christ declares to us. He truly is the Saviour and the only Saviour of sinners. Then over the last two Lord's days, we have considered what is called the states of Christ. We thought firstly on Christ's temporal state of humiliation, where the eternal person of God the Son made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here was the greatest act of humiliation. The condescension of God's Son to that lowest of all positions, where he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might know salvation from the curse and condemnation of our sin. What humiliation, what a humbling of himself was involved in Christ coming into this world and taking our humanity and going all the way to the tree and dying in our place and in our stead. This truly was the greatest act of humiliation. And then after considering the humiliation of Christ, we focused last week upon Christ's unending state, his unending state of exaltation. Although our Saviour and Redeemer died for our sins and was buried, he did not remain under the power of death. Instead, he rose triumphant over death and the grave, and he ascended to the highest position of all. He now sits at God's right hand as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ is now and forever will be the highly exalted one who has led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. It ought to fill the heart of every believer with the greatest comfort and rejoicing that in the midst of this world of chaos and corruption, our Saviour, our Redeemer, is on the throne of glory. And under his all-sovereign reign, he is causing all things to work together for good to them that love God. And how this ought to thrill our souls. It is our exalted Savior. It is our exalted Redeemer. The one who holds us in his hand that is upon the throne of glory. And he's the one who is ultimately reigning. This is the mighty one that we worship and serve. This is the one who guarantees our salvation. Christ, the highly exalted one who sits upon heaven's throne. And so we have looked at these different truths which teach us wonderful things about Christ, our Saviour and Redeemer. However, today, as we continue with the general theme of Christ, our Redeemer, I want us to turn our attention to what is called the offices of Christ. The offices of Christ. You see, as the Lord Jesus came into this world, as the Saviour came into this world, he entered into three offices. The Lord Jesus occupies three offices, or he works for his people in a threefold way. These offices are the office of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king. These are the offices Christ occupies as our Savior. In the beginning of time, when God made man after his own image, man in his original holy and unfallen state was a prophet. And he was a priest. And he was a king. This was man in God's original creation. Man himself was a prophet, priest, and king. God created man with knowledge and understanding. Therefore, man was a prophet. Because man knew the truth. He knew God. God gave to him knowledge. The knowledge of God. And he could speak about God. Therefore, man was a prophet in the beginning. God also created man holy with the ability to commune with God. And so he was also a priest. Because he could commune with God. He could speak with God. He enjoyed fellowship with God. So as well as being a prophet, as well as having knowledge, he also was a priest. Because he lived in communion with God. And then God gave to man, as Genesis 1:26 tells us, dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. God gave man dominion over all the earth, over all things that he had created. Therefore, God also made man a king, because he had this dominion. This dominion over all the earth. This was man in his original, unfallen state. He was a prophet because he had knowledge. He was a priest because he communed with God. And he was a king because he had dominion over all things. But then when sin entered this world, when man in disobedience rebelled against God, he lost his ability to be a prophet and to be a priest and to be a king. Man in sin is now ignorant. He is blinded by the god of this world. And so he can no longer function as a prophet. Man know not God. The Bible tells us God is not in all his thoughts. And people today live as if there was no God. And that reveals to us man is no longer a prophet. He's ignorant and blinded in his sin. Man in sin is also unholy. Therefore, he cannot commune with God. He cannot fellowship with God. Remember what the Lord did with our first parents after they sinned? He drove them out of the garden. They could no longer fellowship with God. Therefore, they were no longer priests. Because in their sinful state, they couldn't commune with God. And man in sin has been taken captive by Satan. Sin now rules in his heart and life. Therefore, he cannot function as a king in God's creation any longer. The very opposite. Man in sin is a slave now. He's no longer a king having dominion over this creation. But he's now a slave to sin. And he's held bondage by Satan himself. This is the misery of man's fallen state. He is ignorant, he is wicked, and he is weak. And so he can no longer function, he can no longer operate as a prophet and as a priest and as a king. He has lost these things. These things have been stripped from him because of his fall into sin. As our Savior and Redeemer, it was then necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to become our prophet and our priest and our king, that he might save us from our fallen state. And this is why Christ has come into this world, and this is why Christ has entered into these particular offices as a prophet, priest, and king, to redeem us, to save us from our fallen state, from that which we fell into as we sinned in our first parents. And this is what we see clearly in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus entered into these offices to bring salvation and to bring eternal life to his people. And therefore, as we consider Christ our Redeemer, or Christ our Savior, we must look at these offices that he occupies, these offices in which he works to save and redeem his people and lift them out of their state of sin and misery. And then turning our attention to the offices of Christ our Redeemer, I want us today to think of Christ our prophet. Just to think about Christ our prophet. And then in the will of God over the next number of Lord's days, we'll consider Christ our priest and also Christ our king. But today we're coming just to think about Christ our prophet. There are three things I want us to consider about Christ as our prophet. Firstly, I want us to note the role of Christ our prophet. The role of Christ our prophet. Now we should note from the very outset that the Lord Jesus is clearly identified in God's word as a prophet. And as the great prophet. We read earlier in Deuteronomy 18. And in verse 15, we are told of how Moses declared to the people of Israel, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken." Moses here speaks of how a prophet would come into this world. God would send a prophet into this world. A great prophet. Now this prophet which Moses speaks of is clearly referring to the Lord Jesus. Moses says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee." And this speaks of the Lord Jesus. He was referring to the Lord Jesus here. And we know this, for in the book of Acts, Peter and Stephen, filled with the Holy Ghost, both refer to how this prophet mentioned by Moses is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ. As Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he actually quoted these words of Moses. And he applied them to Christ. And as Stephen was brought before the Jewish council and questioned, he too turned to these verses. He too turned to these words. And he said, listen, this prophet that Moses spoke of is Christ. And so, Christ is clearly identified in Scripture as a prophet. He is the great prophet that Moses said would come and bring God's word. Yet what is the role or work that the Lord Jesus engages in as our great prophet? What is the role that he engages in? We have just noted Christ is set forth in God's word as a prophet. But what does he do? What does he actually do as our prophet? This is really what we need to understand when we're thinking about Christ our prophet. What does he actually do? What's the work of a prophet? Well, considering the role of Christ our prophet, there are two things that we need to note. Two things that we should consider. Firstly, we need to understand the specific work of a prophet. The specific work of a prophet. The title prophet is really a job title. It refers to a specific work that a person engages in. And we're all aware of job titles. A man who farms is called a farmer. Someone who teaches is called a teacher. Someone who is a doctor is someone who practices medicine. Those names, those titles are job titles. It tells you what they do. Well, the title prophet's a job title. It tells us what a particular person does. Now, as we examine Scripture, we learn that the specific work of a prophet was twofold. It was twofold. It involved, first of all, receiving the truth. That was the first thing. The prophet received the truth. And then the work of a prophet also involved revealing the truth. Revealing it. This really sums up the work that a prophet engaged in. They received the truth of God, sometimes by angels, sometimes through dreams and visions, or by God speaking directly by a spirit to them. The prophet received the word. It was given to them. And then after they had received the truth, they then revealed the truth to the people. They published it. They proclaimed it. They preached it. And so really this is the twofold work of a prophet. Both receiving the truth and then proclaiming the truth. They get the truth from God and they give the truth from God to the people. And there's many examples of this, this specific work of a prophet, through the many prophets of God in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel 8 and verse 10 we read, and Samuel, of course Samuel was one of God's greatest prophets, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people. And there we see the work of a prophet. Samuel told all the words of the Lord. He didn't tell his own words to the people. But God had given him his words. And he took these words and he told these unto the people. What he received, he revealed. And so this is the work of a prophet. We should also note that all of the prophets in the Old Testament pointed forward to Christ, the great prophet. They pointed forward to Christ, the one who would come as our great prophet. And so this was the specific work of a prophet, to receive the truth of God. And that obviously involved a close relationship with God. The prophet had to have a close relationship with God. He had to know God personally. He had to live in communion with God. Because God spoke to him. He received the truth as he lived in a close relationship with God. And then he revealed the truth to the people. And obviously that involved a close relationship with the people. Close relationship with the people. And really we see where the prophet was found in there. He was found between God and the people. He brought God's word to the people. He was the go-between from God to the people. This was his work. His special work. His unique work given to him by God. Receiving the word and then revealing the word to the people. And so we have here the specific work for a prophet. But then we also need to consider the special work of Christ our prophet. The special work of Christ our prophet. If the work of a prophet is to receive the truth from God and to reveal it to men, We now need to think of how Christ, the great prophet, the infallible prophet, engages in this work. How he engages in this work. Of course, the Lord Jesus is different than other prophets in the sense that he does not have to seek out the truth, or does not have to wait on God to reveal the truth to him. The Lord Jesus, as the Bible teaches us, is the truth. He declares in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Christ also says in John 8 12, I am the light of the world. And therefore, Christ does not need to receive the truth. He didn't need to go to God and wait to have a revelation or for God to speak to him, because he himself is the truth. He knows the truth. He is the truth. Instead, his great work as prophet is one of simply revealing the truth, of declaring and making the truth known to men and women. And this is Christ's great work as the prophet, the great prophet, our prophet, one who reveals the truth to us. Remember what happened as we were thinking about the fall of man. Man before the fall knew God, he knew the truth about God, but as he fell into sin, a terrible blackness and darkness and ignorance came over his heart and mind, and no longer could he know God. But Christ has come into this world as our great prophet to bring us the truth, into the light of the truth, to reveal the truth to us. Now, as the Savior walked this earth, we are told in the Gospels how he engaged in the great work of a prophet and revealed or proclaimed the truth to the people. We have read here in Matthew 7, closing words of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. But as the Lord Jesus opened his mouth and taught in these wonderful words, he was acting as the great prophet. And he was revealing the truth to the people. This is what he was doing here. The people came to him. The multitude was gathered onto him on the mountainside. And they sat around him. And the Bible tells us he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying. And then he brought to them the Sermon on the Mount. And there he stood before them as the great prophet of God, revealing the truth. Notice the final words here in Matthew 7, verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now, the job of the scribe was to teach the people, was to bring the word of the God to the people. But here was one who was so different than all the rest of the other teachers. He spoke with authority, with power, because he was the great prophet. He spoke as thus and thus saith the Lord, because he himself was the truth. And we see this throughout the Gospels. People came to Christ, and he taught them, he stood before them, he brought God's word to them. Because he is the great prophet. However, Christ's special work as our prophet is not just confined or limited to the time he ministered on earth. Yes, as he walked this earth, he was a prophet and he taught the people. But his work as a prophet isn't just limited to those years that he ministered on earth. Instead, his work as prophet continues to this very day. Christ's work as prophet continues to this very day. And it even reaches back to the beginning of time. You see, as the great prophet, the Lord Jesus reveals the truth of God to men in various ways. He reveals it to men in various ways. As the great prophet Christ reveals the truth to men, he does so in the scriptures. He does so in the scriptures. Every time we open our Bibles, every time we turn to God's word, this is Christ speaking here. These words are Christ's words. Oh, how we could. Oh, for a greater understanding and grasp of this truth. Every time you read these words, these are the words of Christ. This is the prophet, the great prophet, speaking to us. Revelation 19 and 13 tells us, and his name, that is Christ's name, is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. And again, that's reminding us that as we open the Word of God, as we open the Scriptures, it is Christ who speaks here. And he speaks to us as the great prophet. Sometimes we, as we read through the Old Testament, we hear or we read about different prophets going to different men and bringing special messages. And you could think, well, it wouldn't have been a wonderful thing to receive a special message from God, from his prophet there. That would have been a unique thing, a great blessing. To receive a unique message from a prophet of God to you. Well, every time we open up the scriptures, the great prophet speaks to us. Christ speaks to us. And therefore, as we approach the Word of God, we ought to do so with great care and great attentiveness. With great focus. Here is Christ who speaks. Let's pay attention. Careful attention. Give him our full focus. And so as Christ, the great prophet, speaks to men, he does so in the Scriptures. But as the great prophet, Christ also reveals the truth to men by his Spirit. Not only through the Scriptures, but by his Spirit. The Lord Jesus declared to his disciples in John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or it is profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you." Then note these words. "But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." See what the Lord Jesus is saying here. He's saying, I'm going to depart, but I'm going to send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to you. And the reason why I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you is so that he will lead you into all truth. And so again, we see here how Christ works as the great prophet. By sending his Spirit into this world, what for? To lead us into truth. To guide us into truth. And this is another way that Christ, as our prophet, works. As the great prophet, Christ reveals the truth to men. He does so through the Scriptures, through his Spirit. But we should also note he does so through his servants. He does so through his servants and through his ministers. Paul told the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians 5 in the verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." We are ambassadors for Christ. As the preacher proclaims the truth, must emphasize that, the truth. As the preacher proclaims the truth, they are Christ's ambassadors, proclaiming his word, bringing his truth to the people. In the Old Testament, Christ, as the prophet, spoke through the Old Testament prophets. That's how people received the word then, through the Old Testament prophets. In the early New Testament church, Christ, as the prophet, spoke through the apostles. They brought the word. And in these times in which we live, Christ, as the prophet, speaks through the faithful preaching of his word. This is how he ministered to his people. This is how he leads them into truth. Through the faithful preaching of his word. This is something we need to understand. For as the truth of God's word is preached, and again I emphasize it, as the truth is preached, it is not men that speak, but it is Christ himself. It is the great prophet that speaks. It's the great prophet that speaks. As the church of Christ meets together, and as the word of God is faithfully preached, as the truth is set forth, it is Christ who is here even today. And I want you to understand this. Christ is here today and he speaks to us as the word is preached. And that's a very solemn thing. A most serious and solemn thing. It's a solemn thing for the preacher. Preacher's job is to tell the people that which Christ wants them to hear and know. That's the job of the preacher. Not to impart to the people his own thoughts. Not to impart to the people his own ideas or his own doctrine or his own teaching. Preacher's never to do this. And if he is to do this, ignore him. Shun him. But it is the preacher's task to bring to the people that which Christ wants them to know. That which Christ wants them to hear. This is the job, the solemn task of a gospel preacher. And so therefore he must study Christ's word. He must himself go to the Scriptures, see what Christ says, and bring the message from Christ to the people. That's the job of the preacher. That's a solemn task. But then as the preacher faithfully does this, what a solemn thing it is to sit under the preaching of the truth. Because it's not men, or it's not a man that speaks. It's the great prophet. It's the great prophet. It's Christ. The one who brings us into light. The one who brings us into truth. This is what Christ does, even as the gospel is preached, as the word is preached today. Christ is here present by His Spirit and through His Word. And He speaks to us. He challenges us with the light of His truth. And so this is the role of Christ, our prophet. He reveals the truth to men. And He does this through the Scriptures, through His Spirit, and also by His servants. The role of Christ, our prophet. But then secondly, notice with me today, the reason for Christ, our prophet. As the prophets in the Old Testament brought God's word to men, they always had a particular reason for speaking. They always had a purpose or a goal in declaring their message. For example, we read in the opening words in the book of Jonah, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Here we have the message that Jonah was to go to Nineveh with. It was a message of warning. This was the reason why Jonah spoke then. To warn the people of Nineveh about their sinful and wicked ways and of how God's judgment would come upon them. The reason why he spoke was to bring a message of warning to wicked people. By contrast, when Elijah the prophet of God spoke to the widow woman of Zarephath, he had a message of comfort and a message of salvation for her. He told her, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Remember, Elijah went to live with this woman, and she only had a little bit of meal left in a barrel, and a little drop of oil left in a jug or a cruse, just enough to make one meal. But Elijah said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. This is the message of God for you, dear lady. God's going to bring salvation to your home. And the meal will not run out, nor will the oil run out, until the rain comes. This was why he spoke to this woman, to bring her a message of comfort and salvation. And so God's prophets in the Old Testament always had a specific reason for prophesying. They brought a particular message. They brought God's word for a particular goal. What then of the great prophet? What is the reason why he declares the truth to men and women? Well, there are two things we should note as to why Christ, as the great prophet, speaks to men. Two things we should note. Firstly, we need to think of the mission of the great prophet, the mission of Christ the prophet. This is something that is very much brought before us in these concluding words in Christ's Sermon on the Mount. In verses 24 to 27 in Matthew 7, the deceiver speaks of a wise man and a foolish man, each building a house. And he compares these men to those who hear his word. The wise man built his house on the rock, and when the storm came, his house stood firm, and he was safe in it. This is like those who hear Christ's word and obey it. They will know salvation. They hear, they obey, and they're saved. But the foolish man built his house on the sand, and so when the wind beat upon his house, it fell, and he perished. And this is just like everyone who hears Christ's word and does not do it. They will in the end perish in their sin. Therefore, as we think of that which the Savior says here, we can say the message of Christ the great prophet, the reason why he speaks to men, is so they will hear and know the way of life and salvation, and that they will be wise and obey Christ's word and be saved. That's why he speaks. And remember the context here. He had brought to the people his great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and here is his concluding words. This is how he finishes his message, by telling them the very reason why he speaks, so they'll be wise, like the wise man, and heed his word, and believe in him, and be saved. This is why Christ speaks to men. This is why he speaks to women. This is why he's the great prophet, to bring to us life and salvation. This is why Christ's speaking voice in Scripture is referred to as the word of life. And this is what the prophet's words are referred to in Scripture as, the word of life. Because the mission of Christ the prophet is to reveal the truth of salvation. It is to illuminate blinded and darkened hearts and minds that men and women might come to know salvation and eternal life. This is why Christ speaks to us. This is the reason why the prophet has come, to bring us the message of salvation. Question 24 in the Shorter Catechism asks, how does God execute the office of a prophet? How does Christ execute the office of a prophet? And the answer it gives is, Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. This is how he executes the office of a prophet, by revealing by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. This is why he speaks. This is his goal in speaking, so that we will be wise and be saved. Now, as we think of the mission of Christ, the prophet, to reveal the truth of salvation to us, we see that his speaking to sinners is a marvelous manifestation of his love toward us. It's a marvelous manifestation of his love toward us. He doesn't want us to merely die and perish in the ignorance of our sin. They could have. God could have left this world and the peoples of this world just to go on in their darkness and in their sin and in their wickedness and perish forever without hope, without salvation. But in love he didn't. He comes to us as the great prophet, and his mission is to bring to us the truth. The truth of salvation. Mark 6:34 tells us, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. There's Christ's compassion for the people. He's seen them. He looked upon them in their ignorance. And what did he do? Tells us, and he began to teach them many things. There is the love that is found in the heart of the great prophet. He brings to us the truth, that we might be saved. This is the mission of Christ the prophet. We also must consider the message of Christ the prophet. What is the message Christ declares as he speaks to men? What is the truth the great prophet imparts to us as he speaks and reveals to us the way of salvation? There are many, many verses of scripture we could turn to which reveal the message Christ the prophet has for men. Many verses. But I believe the words of John 14 verse 6 very powerfully set forth Christ's message for sinners. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the sum and substance of the message of the great prophet. This is what he has to say to man. Only through him can man live. Only through him can man be saved. Only through him can man be brought to God and enter into eternal life. In short, the message of Christ the prophet is he is the Savior and the only Savior of sinners. He is the only way that men in sin can know salvation and ultimately eternal satisfaction and happiness. This is the message that Christ proclaims through the scriptures. This is the message of the Bible. This is it. Christ is the Savior. And he's the only Savior. This was the message that Christ told Cain and Abel. Cain rejected the message of the blood sacrifice, and he perished, and Abel didn't, and he was saved. This was the message of the ark. Christ the ark. He's the one who delivers. He's the one who saves. And those that enter in were delivered. Those that didn't perished. This is the message of the tabernacle. Christ. He's the sacrifice. He's the one who brings us nigh to God. Christ is the Savior. This is the message, the central message of Scripture, the central message of the Bible, the great message of the prophet, I am your Savior. This is it. Think of the words of the Savior in Isaiah 45 verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. This is the message of Christ, the great prophet for this congregation today. And let me emphasize that. This is the message of Christ, the great prophet for this congregation. I am the Savior. The only Savior. And without me you will perish. Without me you will be lost. Without me you will be condemned to the torments of hell. But I'm the Savior. And I've come to bring you truth. I've come to deliver you from the darkness and ignorance of your sin and bring to you life. This is Christ's message for this congregation. This is the message he preaches to us. And so the reason Christ speaks to men, his goal as our prophet, is then to declare the way, the only way of salvation. It is to reveal himself to sinners. To reveal himself to sinners as the great Savior. This is the reason why he speaks to men. One last thing I want to note in closing here. Not only the role of Christ our prophet, and the reason for Christ our prophet, but the response to Christ our prophet. In the final words which the Lord Jesus spoke to the people in the Sermon on the Mount, he made it clear to them that they all would respond to the things which he said. He made this clear. Some would be like the wise man and obey his word, and some would be like the foolish man and disregard his word. But all would respond to his preaching. All would respond to Christ the prophet. And this is the point the Savior is really making here as he concluded his sermon. I have preached these words. I have set my truth before you. Now here, everyone will respond. You will either believe and obey, or you will go on in unbelief and disregard my word. But you will respond. And this is what the Savior was saying to these people. You will either be wise in your response, or you will either be foolish. The great matter then that we must consider in the light of Christ our prophet is how have we responded to his speaking voice? How have we responded to his word? Really, this is where the rubber hits the road. This is the ultimate question. We've considered how Christ is the great prophet. Come to this world to bring light and truth to men. Come to bring salvation and reveals this salvation is in himself. This is his work. But how are we going to respond to him? And to his words? As Christians, we are to know God's rich blessing in our lives. Then we must submit. Wholly and completely submit to Christ the prophet in all things. Let me say that to God's people here today. Christ is the prophet. He speaks to us in his word. We must completely and totally endeavor to put our lives in every aspect and in every part under that word. And under his voice. Living under his command. Being regulated by what he says. This is what we are to do. Day in and day out. And of course I could apply this to many areas of our lives. And I want you to do that for yourself. Are you living for God or living under the command of Christ the prophet in your life? In your marriage? In your home? In your workplace? In regard to the church here in Garva? This is the way we will know the blessing of God. By submitting to the voice of Christ our prophet. But perhaps you're in God's house today and you've never obeyed Christ's speaking voice as he called you onto himself in salvation. You've never responded to his voice. Oh yes, you've known the truth. You've heard the word preached on many occasions. You've heard Christ's call in the gospel, come to me and you'll have life. Repent and believe and you will be saved. You've heard all of these things, but you've never actually responded in obedience and faith to Christ's speaking voice as he called you on to himself. Well, let me say this. On the authority of God's word, this is to behave as a fool. And this is not what I have said, this is what Christ has said. Think of these words here. Whosoever does not do the word of Christ. Christ says, I will liken him unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand, behaved in a foolish way, behaved in a ridiculous way. and ultimately perished. Oh, do not be this fool any longer. Do not ignore and disregard the voice of Christ, our great prophet. Be wise today. Heed his voice, heed his word. He speaks to you in mercy and in grace. He sets the truth of salvation. It's found in him before you. Heed his voice. Obey his word. And believe in him. Christ the prophet says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. May this be the response of all our hearts to Christ, our great prophet. We would give heed to him today. We would hear him, not only with the outer ear, but the inner ear of the heart. And we would obey his voice and call upon him for salvation and submit to him in all our ways. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts this day for his own name's sake. Amen. Amen.